This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by the Chinese Express Card.
Honorable rates, celestial rewards.
Oh, Mommy, if you can't afford one of these incredible flugelhorns they make in China, I'll never, never, never stand a chance of winning the world-famous Jungfrau Flugenhornenfest in Lauterbrunnen this summer.
Honey, I don't have the money. You'll just have to make do with the wooden flugelhorn Daddy carved you before he was crushed by that runaway cable car.
Tight money getting you down? Borrow as much as you want to keep buying all the wonderful Chinese goods you've grown so accustomed to, you must have them. Unlimited credit, years to pay, lavish rewards programs, no one turned down, no annual fee, competitive interest rates, we will not be undergouged. Cut up your Amex, MasterCard, Visa, and Discover cards and apply for your Chinese Express card, gold, platinum, or rare earth. Today! You want it? You got it!
Gold card benefits, privileged treatment at Chinese takeout restaurants anywhere in the world, complete annual acupuncture, reduced rates on major city suburban bus lines. Platinum card, first delivery from Chinese takeout restaurants anywhere in the world, complete monthly acupuncture, free passes on major city suburban bus lines. Rare earth card, confidential. Register online now for amazing pleasure benefits. Do it today!
The hockey, half the relevance, eh? Tonight's guests are Joni Mitchell, Geddy Lee, Kiefer Sutherland's grandfather, and embattled crackhead mayor Rob Ford. So, what happened in Canada this week? Anything? Rob Ford.
Oh, excuse me, I was smoking crack. The Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl.
Seattle is near Canada, not in Canada, huh? Geddy Lee.
Modern-day Super Bowl, mean stride. Today's beer drinker, mean pride.
Just because they sold beer at the Super Bowl doesn't make it Canada. Joni Mitchell.
Oh, I could drink a case of beer.
Help me out here, father of Canadian socialism, Kiefer Sutherland's grandfather.
My grandson, Kiefer Sutherland, appeared in an ad for 24 on the Super Bowl.
I'm about to lose my patented Canadian reserve. That's not about Canada, eh?
24 is in Canada.
No, it isn't.
We have the number 24.
It's equal to 4 6-packs.
4 Molson 6-packs.
4 Molson Golden 6-packs.
Molson.
4 Molson Golden 6-packs. And 24 pieces of crack!
I've looked at brew from both sides now, from chug-a-lug, and still somehow it's binge illusions I recall. I really don't black out.
That's our show! Remember, visit Canada, where you come up for healthcare and stay for the mind-numbing politeness. Hey.
And now, in a brand new low for the final edition, we bring you Famous Farts in Congressional History.
January 16th, 1820.
And I, Henry Clay, propose a compromise that would allow Maine into our United States as a free state and the Missouri Territory as a slave state.
Oh, Senator Clay, was that you?
Perhaps it was. And perhaps it wasn't. I will concede that it is very much my pickled eggs and lager stink if three of you take a deep inhale.
Agreed.
Oh, I'm gonna toss. This stink has no compromise.
Nation's deer oddly silent on gun control.
Chrysler commercial artist Bob Dylan has come under fire this week from longtime commercial fans who say he is a sellout for a planned return to music. The final edition joins a press conference now underway.
Mr. Dillon, you are considered the pitchman of your generation. Why do you think advertising has become such a hot phenomenon with people in your age group?
Yippee, see ads all the time, but they just can't remember what to buy. Their minds are filled with ad campaigns, images of things they want to try.
You were recently booed at the Newport Ad Festival for doing a set that mentioned no products at all. Is music without advertising something you'll soon be advertising?
The ad men and the madmen sit around like glad men. Hope that they're not sad men, 'cause their work is on the ball. Now, some of them are criminal, but their words, they are subliminal. They know there's no idea like a concept, and a concept's no idea at all.
Well-known storyboard accident in upstate New York, you retired from advertising. What made you come back?
How many spots will it take till he knows that too many spots have been tried? The residuals, my friend, are blowing in the wind.
The residuals are blowing in the wind?
Yeah, that was my part.
Why do so many people insist that you remain the pure advertising icon they know who executes all those brilliant 30-second spots?
The executioner's face is always well hidden.
Do you have a new song that expresses how you feel about the current controversy that is raging all around you?
I do not, but wait a minute. Okay, now I do. Hit it!
Yeah, this is bad. Talking Chrysler Blues. Yeah. You get a lot of nerve to say you are my fans. When I went electric, you stood there blowing. When I was born again, you wouldn't go in. See my band. When I step out of line, you treat me like Davis Lewin. You say I'm the spokesman of your generation, the patron saint of all you baby boomers. But you're the yuppies who voted in Ronald Reagan and gave the world its big financial tumors. Yeah, you don't know my new songs. You don't buy my new stuff. You live in your nostalgia, and it's nice, sir. Yeah, but getting new stuff out today on radio is tough. So don't crucify me, I'm not Jesus Chrysler. I wish that for just one time I could be in your demographic, and for that one moment you'd be in mine. Yeah, I wish that for just one time I could be in your demo. You'd know what a waste you are of that time.
We'll be right back after this with the Final Edition Radio Hour. Welcome back to the conclusion of the Final Edition Radio Hour, A More Perfect Onion. It looks like we might make it after all.
World's most accurate Elvis impersonator just lays around like he's dead.
The year 2014.
Most Americans have reacted with a collective shrug to revelations that the NSA has been spying on phone data and web traffic to find terrorists. One person who objected was Stanley Morales of the American Civil Liberties Union. So we asked him if he's a terrorist.
Well, no, but that's not the point. The point
one
is
person who is not a terrorist, however, is Ned Partridge, a typical man on the street.
I want the NSA to hear my phone calls. I want them to know all the great things I say about them.
The year 2020.
It was revealed today that the NSA has been spying on phone calls and tapping into webcams and smartphone cameras that they thought were turned off, all for the sake of catching the people who have been pulling out their penises in lumber stores. We asked Stanley Morales if he thought it was a good idea to pull out his penis in a lumber store.
Of course not, but is that your excuse for doing
one person who would not pull out his penis in a lumber store is Ned Partridge, our man on the street.
Are you kidding? With all those electric saws and everything?
The year 2030.
Pornography is bad, except for a few kinds that we in the U.S. government have decided are good. So we're collecting search terms to make sure that... people only look at the right kind of porn. How about it, Mr. Morales of the ACLU? Is it better to have a meaningful relationship with a real person, or to sit by yourself looking at smut?
Obviously, a real person is more fulfilling, but you know...
But our man on the street wants what's best for America.
Are we still going to have porn with twins?
Yeah. We're keeping that.
Oh. Then fine.
The year 2040.
Prohibition of alcohol didn't work the first time because we couldn't keep track of everybody. Now we can. We asked Stanley Morales of the ACLU, should we read people's brain scans to locate their demon rum, or should we just force people to drink rubbing alcohol? No reaction from Mr. Morales, because we've decided to detain him at an undisclosed location. Does our man on the street, Ned Partridge, have a problem with that?
But why did you... No, I don't have a problem.
That's right. Why would you have a problem? Unless you're a terrorist, or a flasher, or a radical, or a pervert who enjoys the kind of pornography that doesn't have twins.
The year 2050. This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is made possible by the Landmark Ledge Fund.
Your grandfather did it. His grandfather did it. Someday soon, you'll be doing it. For old money, it's the only honorable way to go. But insurers won't pay your family benefits. And modern skyscrapers have no ledges. But worry no more. Landmark Ledge Fund has been helping the families of ledge leapers since the panic of 1893. We guarantee a handsome ledge in a landmark building when the time for your last leap comes. Landmark Ledge Fund. Reasonable premiums, legendary ledges.
Hello, I'm Republican Representative Michael Grimm from Staten Island. Recently, you may have seen my numerous apologies for threatening a news reporter when he asked me an off-topic question regarding a campaign finance controversy that I am currently dealing with. I was out of line. I said some things that I regret. I completely overreacted. But that's what happens when you test me. Is it my fault this punk reporter got in my face regarding a question I didn't want to answer? Is it really my fault for threatening him, or is it really his for making me threaten him? He shouldn't be asking questions that will make me throw him off a balcony. So, in order to be proactive to avoid another incident, I'm giving you reporter pinheads a list of off-topic things to not ask me because you're not man enough. You don't ask me these things. You don't know who I know. Got it? Okay, here we go. Campaign finance controversy. Obviously. I'll break you like a little boy and it'll be your own fault. No asky. Capiche?
Staten Island garbage. You can't handle the answer. Trust me, don't ask it. You can't handle it. The Verrazano Bridge, no. Property taxes. I have an Israeli guy who's forced to pay mine. Not your business. Don't ask. You're not a man. You're a little Cub Scout, and you only have yourself to blame if you make me break your legs. What I do on my days off, I'm not answering that. Stop and frisk. No. Unions. Don't you do it. Oh, I know you want to do it. Oh, I know. I see that little glimmer in your eye. Don't you do it. And finally, where I pee-pee. You ask that question, it's not my fault that you end up with a lead pipe in the keister. But there is one question you can ask. What's with Alec Baldwin's anger problem? Man, that guy has issues. Take care. God bless.
And now, in a brand new low for the final edition, we bring you Famous Farts in Congressional History.
April 24th, 1954.
Senator McCarthy, you have the floor.
Thank you, Speaker. Citizens, there is a communist plague in this country that must be hunted out.
Oh, Senator McCarthy, what did you eat for lunch? Good Lord!
That wasn't me.
Oh, the silent ones are the worst.
The deadliest, Speaker.
It wasn't me. It was one of you. One of you. And I'll find you. As God is my witness, I will find you.
That was Famous Farts in Congressional History. Join us next time when we examine the worst dumps of President Lyndon Baines Johnson, excluding his efforts in Vietnam, his worst dump of all.
Teenage boys organize protest against misleading headline, Pussy Riot Released.
The administration can't seem to conclude a comprehensive treaty with Afghanistan. This means the U.S. may withdraw totally from there. In turn, that means no more bases for the CIA to drone Taliban bad boys in Afghanistan and Pakistan. The drone program could be about to be droned. Some patriotic citizens are up in arms. Stone Peck is at a pro-drone protest in Washington, D.C.
Save our drones! Save our drones!
Hey there, tell me about your signs. I see they read, sad is sad to see drones go. Who is sad?
That's our spontaneous grassroots group, Save Our Drones.
But surely that would be sod, not sad.
Are you dumb or what? Save, S-A-V-E, our, A-R-E.
Our is spelt O-U-R?
No, it's not. Anyway, sod don't mean anything.
Actually, sod is a section of turf with soil attached. In British English, sod is short for sodomite, or one who practices sodomy.
Ew, get away from me, pervert.
Me too, keep your hands off me, sicko.
A lot of people, even President Obama, think drones are at best a necessary evil. But I guess you're really pro-drone.
Yeah, you betcha. Drones protect freedom. Drones keep us safe.
Yeah, without putting anyone in harm's way.
What about the Afghan and Pakistani citizens they put in harm's way, as in death?
They don't put Americans in harm's way, and that's all that counts.
You have a problem with that?
What about the critics who say that putting foreign civilians in harm's way by droning them in the hopes of hitting the odd terrorist is actually terrorizing those people?
So? Terrorizing isn't the same as terrorism.
Terrorism is dropping bombs on some people to keep all the people terrified.
Isn't that what drones do?
Man, you're dumb. Droning people protects them from terrorists. Hello? So some of them become cholesterol damage. It's for their own good.
So you'd say that drone attacks in heavily populated areas in the hopes of killing the odd bad guy is in the best interests of the dronies and of the U.S.?
Provided. Provided that they're accurately targeted by fully trained super patriotic recruits.
Preferably evangelical Christians.
In their late teens.
In Colorado.
What about the criticism that the violent resentment droning causes simply breeds more terrorists?
So what?
The more terrorists there are, the more drones we need.
And the more drones we have, the more our brave fighting men and women won't be in harm's way. Yay! Save our drones!
Many problems we respond to militarily are actually political ones. What about solving them through political, non-military means?
Are you f***ing kidding?
What would our brave fighting men and women do then?
Not be in harm's way? Get a job that didn't involve killing people?
That's surrender. No surrender, no retreat.
That's treason, mister.
You Canadian.
You ought to be deported, along with that beaver kid!
Filthy libtard media.
Save our drones! Save our drones! Save our drones!
This is Stone Peck reporting live from the sad Make That Sod protest in Washington.
And now, the Final Edition Radio Hour presents another comedy classic.
A little earlier in the show, we took some satirical pot shots at Bob Dylan's hugely hyped appearance in a Super Bowl ad for Chrysler. From the furore last week, you'd never think he'd lent his name and music to a Pepsi commercial a few years back, and his name, music, and ripped and buffed bod to a Victoria's Secret ad in 2004. A lot of boomers and even Gen Xers seem to want to keep little Bobby Zimmerman mummified as the counterculture hero of their respective youths. Well, culture's all over the counter now, and nobody knows that better than old Bob. But even way, way back in the early 70s, when Dylan still was pretty much a spokesman for his generation, there were some cynical, nihilistic sickos who felt he had it in him to hype the hell out of something, somewhere, someday. On the National Lampoon's very first album, Radio Dinner, this was back when the National Lampoon was actually funny, there appeared what was then the very first Dylan parody ever recorded. It was called Remember Those Fabulous 60s, and it was sung and spoken by none other than Christopher Guest, who would one day write and star in the definitive rock parody, This Is Spinal Tap. Back in 1972, though, Christopher was merely Bob Dylan. Here he is, selling you something.
The Spangled Dwarf in his bow tie. The infantry that don't ask why.
Hi, I'm Bob Dylan. Remember those fabulous 60s? The marches, the beans, the draft card burnings, and best of all, the music. Well, now Apple House has collected the finest of those songs on one album called Golden Protest, performed by the original artists who made them famous. You're thrilled to Society's Child by Janicene, Pleasant Valley Sunday by the Monkees, What Have They Done to the Rain by the Searchers, In the Ghetto by Elvis Presley, Silent Night, 7 O'Clock News by Simon and Garfunkel, and who can ever forget this all-time classic? Yes, it's Barry Maguire's immortal Eve of Destruction. And, of course, my own Masters of War, all for the incredibly low price of $3.95. And if you order now, you'll also receive a treasury of acid rock featuring Vanilla Fudge, Blue Cheer, Frigid Pink, Moby Grape, The Electric Prunes, Jeff Snareplane, Lothar and the Hand People, to name but a few. Plus, as part of this special limited offer, you also get the best of the supergroups with Traffic, Cream, Blind Faith, Ginger Baker's Air Force, and many, many others. Yes, this is a collector's dream, Golden Protest, plus two fabulous 60s albums, all for only $3.95. If you were to purchase these selections separately, they'd cost you hundreds of dollars, and many cannot be found anywhere at any price. Well, it's time for my boot heels to be wandering. But here's someone who'll tell you how you can get this amazing record package.
Here's how to order this amazing record package. Just send $3.95 in check or money order plus your name and address to Apple House Box 70K, South Bend, Indiana. Once again, that's $3.95 in check or money to Apple House Box 70K. Do it today.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition. For your fill of satire with teeth, visit www.thefinaledition.com at least once a day. Performed by Kevin Janis, Barry Link, Rachel Rauch, Bruce Cherry, Darby Worley, Anne Tuchel, John Marshall, Rob Gordon, Jin Dodd, Michael O'Donohue, Jeff Chrysler, Tony Hindra. Written by Barry Link, John Fugelsang, Rob Gordon, John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hindra. Edited by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. Produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hindra. The Bob Dylan 60s musical parody piece was written and performed by Christopher Guest. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2014.